everybody. Welcome to our, I guess we're going to call it like a pilot or I don't know. This is the initial recording for Is It Crazy or Is It God?
Yeah.
Our podcast. I'm Faith.
I'm James. Yay.
And we are coming to you with a podcast called Is It Crazy or Is It God? As I already just said. And so, and James is over there repping his Goddess Dope shirt. I got my Goddess Dope shirt on this, even though it's not the, like the one with the logo and stuff on it. But, yeah, we love Goddess Dope. This is not sponsored, but shout out to them. They are
That's
awesome. Like, we love ordering their stuff.
Yeah, they just sent me a text the other day. They've been trying to get me,
man. They're master marketers. Yeah. I mean, like, sometimes they'll get, they know exactly what to say to me. Like, You don't want to miss out on this sale, do you?
And I'll be get like, it. No, get it every time. It's all love, though.
It is all love. I love it. I love their stuff. So, yeah. So, is it crazy or is it God? We wanted to come to you to kind of explain, like, sort of, like, the background of, like, why we decided to do this. Like, what we expect to try to, what we're trying to accomplish and all that. I mean, I wouldn't say, really, that there's, like, a number or an accomplishment level that would be okay, we're good, we're done, hang it up. Mm. I think just overall the impact is what I'm thinking, like,
yeah.
Like there's a certain impact that I think I have in mind, and you might have one for in your mind too. Have had this idea, really, I believe it's a calling, for over 4 years.
Yeah.
And we unfortunately put it off. Life is happening at the same time. So we got married, we moved, obviously, we moved in together, and we did the whole newlywed thing. I guess considered we're still probably newlyweds. We're only 4 years in, right?
Yeah.
It'll be 4 years in March.
I think you start getting 10, I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
Start after, I don't know.
Anyway, I don't want to get all the way off topic, But I guess I'll give you the floor, because I don't want to. What do you want to jump in and we're just going to jump in. We just want to talk about where we're coming from and what we're trying to do here with this podcast. So, all right, since I was already talking, I'll go and say. So our objective is to encourage and engage a community of people to read the Bible. We ourselves have so many excuses and so many sort of like challenges and obstacles between reading the Bible. So just a little short backstory. We had decided we wanted to read the entire Bible. Actually, we wanted to read it before we got married, but that didn't happen. We were just all over the place, just trying to get together our move, trying to get together our wedding pieces.
Trying to get together our lives.
We were just, so we did not make the time in that period, but then we decided, okay, we're going to read the Bible year one. Like, we're going to do this all the time. Like, we're never going to stop reading the Bible, but like, we had, neither of us had read it like all the way through. And we were like, that's a good thing that we can do together as a married couple, is to read the entire Bible. So then we started to notice that we weren't really effectively doing it. Like both of us will read individually. Like James was doing this thing where he was reading, was it Psalms or Proverbs?
I still try to do that daily.
Yeah. And then I have my own thing where I do like Bible mapping and memory verse reading. And one of the things that Priscilla Schreier said once in one of some video that I watched of hers was that sometimes people take the Bible out of context, and it's good to read the entire like chapter so that you could get the context of what the word means. Like people like to do that all the time. Just take one thing out of the Bible, one line, and be like, yeah, see, the Bible says this. But it's like, if you didn't read the whole like part of that where it said that, then you could easily be like misinterpreting it. So when I saw Priscilla Schreier say that, I hope I'm saying her name right, I was like, yeah, that's true. So when I was doing my memory verse mapping or my memory verse sort of like writing, I was like, oh yeah, let me go and read the whole chapter. So anyway, we're both reading it separately, but then we decided, yeah, like we want to read it together. And one of the things that we lacked was like accountability. So we were like, let's do a podcast and that way we'll have to report out on what we read, meaning we have to read during the week. So we got together a schedule. I downloaded some stuff to help us have a plan, and we just started filming. We started recording. That's kind of like the quick and dirty backstory, but what would you say, like, the overall impact that you want to have, or like, is there anything that I left out from the backstory, first of all? No. Mm-hmm. What would you say, like, the overall impact that you would want to have for this particular project?
The overall, what I would like is just to be honest, sometimes it's pressure, right? And we can all be honest with that. I mean, for me, it's like, we have to go to church. It's sometimes church is done in such a strict way that it kind of pushes people back. Some churches do, some churches don't. But what I want to do is just reach people that you can connect with God and Jesus, right? And you don't have to, like, you should go to church and you should worship Him, but you should find a church good for you. But you can also connect with God and read the Bible, right? Sometimes Christians are looked at like holier than thou, and look, we're just regular people. Sometimes we cuss. Sometimes we get angry. Sometimes we overindulge, right? Whether it be maybe alcohol. Just nobody's perfect but Jesus. So it's okay to be human as long as you're getting better and connecting with God. And that goes through reading the Bible. Right. So that's what it is. Because you can say you mess up and get drunk, and then you're like, oh man, but I read the Bible every day. By reading the Bible every day and studying it, you're automatically going to get closer to God.
Right. So what would you say, though, the impact that you want to have is, like, do you want
to... I want people to just read the Bible more.
Yeah, that's it.
I think today's society, we're getting lost. The I don't want to say originality, but the origin of things have been lost, I think, in society, where it's okay to read the Bible or go ride a bike or go walking. I just feel like, you know, especially us being in the house because of COVID, it's good to do some things that are original, traditional. I just think some. And reading the Bible is, I think, a good tradition where you can connect to God. And it's, the Bible has events and stories in it that are still happening to this day. So the impact I want to have is, I want everybody not only to read the Bible, but share it.
Yeah.
You know, share the show. Like, hey man, you know, the craziest God, this couple, man, you just read the Bible and they're real. They joke, it's fun. Like, it doesn't have to be, you know,
so strict and like, And so, all right, dare I say judgmental? Because, like, okay, so let's get into this part of the conversation. We're just going to be real. And this is what you can expect from us, because we're just going to say all the things you shouldn't say, like, that we think, that we really feel it and thinking. Like, we both love God. We're not trying to deter people from doing things, or we're not trying to judge other people. But let's talk about some of the things that deter people from perhaps like joining a church or doing that whole thing, you know.
I think you said it on the head, judgmental. I think that drives people away a lot, man, because sometimes I know some people, you probably do too. What's funny, if you listen to a pastor, they say it all the time about their congregation.
What?
Like, they think, sometimes Christians think that they are holier than
I. Oh, right. Yeah, I've heard that several times. And that
pushes them away. I know our pastor said it.
Yeah.
And shout out, we listen to Pastor Ferdy too. Shout out to him. He says it because it has to, you have to be human.
It's true. I've heard a lot of times our pastor, not to put our church's business out there, but he harps a lot on like community, like get to know it, like fellowship, like actually talk to one another, like just come in here, get what you came for, roll out. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like fellowship with us, come to manna, come to Bible study. And so like, and yeah, we're not perfect because I haven't been to manna in years.
But I
do participate in the Bible studies and
you definitely.
But yeah, so this is the point though, right? Like it can feel, church can sometimes feel like the environment of sort of like having church can sometimes feel like either you fit in or you don't. And it can cause stress sometimes. And that's not what it's for. It's to get together and worship God. So, and I'll even be completely transparent. I've been in a judgmental place before where I've judged someone else. You know what I'm saying? It's like certain times you just feel like you're in your own thoughts and then you look back on it and realize I shouldn't have done that, or I shouldn't have thought that or whatever.
That actually happened to me yesterday. When you're talking about that sportscaster, I kind of bad back. But that comes with not only being human, but if you're connecting with God, you're going to be able to be accountable for your own actions.
Well, look, I'm talking about in church. Let me tell you. I'm going to tell you the story because I'm not going to say the person's name. And I don't even know the person's name. But like we had this whole thing where it was like a breakfast or something like that, or like some sort of potluck, or I can't remember what it was, but like we all had like service, and then I don't know if the service was before the thing or what, but anyway, we all went downstairs.
It was a ladies?
Yeah.
It was at United. Okay.
And we all went downstairs, and for some reason, like you were there. But I think you must have been, like, helping do something, like, maybe moving some chairs or something like that. So, like, your parents were in front of us, and then there was this lady beside me.
For breakfast?
The point is, like, this lady has sat beside me, and she did not smell good at all. She smelled like she hadn't showered in a few days. And at first, you don't know that, right? You're just, like, greeting people, like, oh, hey, whatever, right? And then something caught downwind, and I caught that whiff, and I was like, ooh, right? And I didn't say anything to her, but, like, for the remainder of the time that I was sitting next to her, like, my back was turned towards her, and I was thinking to myself, like, oh, man, like, no wonder nobody's talking to her, like, oh, she smells whatever. But I'm just I remember I told you about it, and you said something to the effect of like, well, just because she didn't get the chance to bathe, should that have stopped her from coming to church? It was something like that that really hit me, and I was like, wow, you're right. Like, I don't know her lifestyle. That happened at work one time too, where there was a person we used to work with that used to smell bad like all the time though. And like the rest of us coworkers would kind of like talk about him behind his back, and like we weren't talking to his face, but we probably weren't that nice to him. And then I remember telling my mom one day, like, yeah, he always stinks or whatever. And my mom was like, well, maybe he doesn't have a place to shower. Maybe you ever think maybe he's homeless? Maybe he's just coming to work and trying to work himself into a better situation. And that joint hit me.
He used to always pick up shifts too.
He used to always pick up shifts. And I used to be like, oh man, we got to work with this guy. Right. But it's like, who am I to be judging somebody and not even know their situation? You know what I'm saying? Just because I haven't been through that. And it was like, I guess in my mind, I had assumed that they were making a choice.
Yeah.
Right? Like, but who would make that choice? It's like, it's these things that are like, I mean, I'm only bringing that up as an example, but the church example was probably the most prevalent for the point that we're trying to make, which is like, there are several reasons. That's just one reason, that judgment.
Yeah.
Right. I think another reason people don't make it a priority to like join a church and be in a church is because outside of the judgment, there's sometimes like people who, I don't know. Like, I don't know how to say it. I haven't seen this in our particular church, but like, I know there's often a lot of talk about corruption in the church and like people stealing money or people doing like things, having affairs and stuff like this, and like drama and things like this. So I know there have been those things that people have told me about, yeah, that the reason why they don't, yeah, that they don't go to church.
And I have another thing of how some churches, you have a friend where it's kind of, it's like a, I don't want to use that word, but it's real tight-knit.
Oh, like a clique.
Like a clique.
Like, so it could be clicky. Like, you, yeah, go to the church expecting people to have open arms, yeah, and it's like, it's a groups of people who kind, yeah, of... Was...
And remember, we're not saying names, but your friend, she was in a situation, and she got hooked up, met her husband there, and then...
Oh, yeah.
But some churches are kind of like that, and it's... Which is not bad.
So
not,
I know what you're talking about, yeah, but I'm trying to figure out what can you mention to make...
The
to make...
It was... Oh, okay. Because they were like, put kind of like... Not...
I want to make sure you're making your point clear without saying the people's names.
Yeah, they were introduced, kind of arranged.
It was kind of like an... It was kind of like an arranged marriage, kind of like, I guess. An
arrangement.
But they were like put together and then it was like all this pressure, yeah, right? So she was... Yeah. Okay. She was saying how,
yeah,
she was in the church like four nights a week. And she was, I mean, like, me and her go way back. So I know her,
yeah,
upbringing and her work ethic and stuff. So I know she was telling the truth. She was probably in that thing like four times a week,
yeah,
leading Bible studies, probably doing choir stuff, yeah, like, yeah, yeah, doing administrative stuff. I could just see her hands all up in that thing. And meanwhile, he was stepping out. But, like, I guess everybody in the church kind of, like, turned their back to that. It was like he was doing things that were not good for their marriage. And because they were a part of the church, it, yeah, was almost like, let's just not, yep, address that and just keep doing the church thing.
Yeah.
And so she found herself in a tricky situation because you came to church to serve God and to be...
Yeah.
A, yeah, part of the community, uplifting, yeah, people in through the word of Christ, right?
Yeah.
And now you find yourself in this sort of like scandal. And, yeah, like, what are you to do? Like, you can't just like, because the perception is like you're letting everybody down.
Yeah.
But really, it's so hard to decipher between relationships with people in the church and your relationship with God sometimes. Because you don't want to, sometimes... And people call people church hoppers at times, but it's like, I do think that it's, my personal opinion is that I do think that it's imperative that you find a church that feeds you, that, you know what I'm saying, that feels good to engage with. I'm not saying every day is going to feel good, because there's times where oh man, where the pastor, they call it stepping on toes, the pastor feels like he's speaking directly to me, like, you need to be more like this, and those days are kind of uncomfortable, even though nobody really knows he's not necessarily talking directly to me, but the feeling right is at. That wow, he knows what I'm going through and doing, and he's talking to me, you know what I'm saying? So like, it's not like you're supposed to go to every day is supposed to be like a feel good day,
yeah,
and sometimes you could really be going through something,
yeah,
and going to church, but the point is that overall you should be having some sort of positive experience, yes, or impact,
yes,
through service in the church. And if you're not experiencing that, then I think the best, you should pray about it, right. You know what I'm saying?
Because I don't want people to say, oh, it's wrong for her doing the 4 days. No, I'm saying
no.
The clique and the situation.
Yeah, that's a particular situation.
Some churches have cliques. Y'all know that. I'm not making things up.
Again, we're just going through, yeah, some of the reasons that people might, yeah, be deterred from attending, yeah, church. And listen, now we're going to go ahead and transition into another subject. And the only reason we bring, yeah, that up is because this is the type of conversations that we have about just everything, but specifically as we're doing this project with Is It Crazy or Is It God, we recognize that there should be perhaps another way to help people to read God's word, yeah, right? Like, maybe you one of those people who just don't want to go to church. But if we could get you to read the Bible, like, I think that's a great impact. And I don't even need to know that you did it. I just feel like as long as I'm doing everything that I can be doing,
yeah,
to do this, right, to try to aid someone in doing this, yeah, then that's great. But, and that fulfills me because, like I said, I feel like we were called to do this.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's been
a piercing
idea.
Yeah.
Like, we've had this idea for like 4 years, and then we realized, like, we just have to get started.
It got to the point, it got uncomfortable. Like, we told a couple people, I can't actually wait to tell our pastor, but we told a couple deacons, and they would be asking, like, what's up? And it's just like, all
right.
We
didn't start it yet. Like, we had this idea, and then it's morphed over time. We even see it going somewhere else, even after we read the Bible the first time. But anyway,
somewhere else that I think y'all will enjoy as well, too.
I also think that over these last 4 years, not to make excuses, but, like, we've matured in lots of ways, especially spiritually. I think that God's timing is God's timing, and yeah, I wish I would have been more obedient sooner, but here we are. It could have not been the time, right? Like I said, we have matured.
You might have to go through this before you get here.
Yeah, and we have matured, and I don't really know that I would have had the same objective 2 or 3 years ago, right? Because like I said, we just, full transparency, we started out, we just wanted to read the Bible, and then we were like, oh, well, let's add some accountability in there, and then we're like, oh yeah, we could do the show. So anyway,
because it's supposed to be a YouTube show.
Well, it's going to be YouTube also,
right? But then it's like, well, let's do a podcast,
right? So we started learning about podcasting. Shout out to David Shands and Show and Social Proof Podcast.
Yeah.
And we were like, yeah, we're already going to do this show. We might as well just make it a podcast. We like listening to podcasts.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, here we are. So, okay, now I want to just switch gears a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask you some questions. And you feel free to ask me some questions.
Okay. I don't know how this is going.
Well, all right, let's get into this. What do you find what is the biggest benefit of you reading the Bible? Like, what does it do for you?
Okay. The biggest benefit for me reading the Bible is, first of all, there's always a lesson in the Bible that is not only applicable to, like, what I'm doing today in my life, but stuff that I've done in my past, I rethink, like, oh, man, I should do this. Or stuff that I'm going through in present day, like, you know what? I need to start doing it this way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's stuff that, like, we just read the other day. Like, I've read Genesis so many times. And I was like, oh, man, I might have heard it. But it's like, oh, that's where rainbows come from.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always something that you're going to, it's going to get, like, I'm going to learn a valuable lesson. It's going to be applicable to my life. Like,
yeah,
I go through stuff, and people talk about nowadays mental health and mm-hmm. depression, and all that stuff is in the Bible. Drug addiction, any addiction that you can think of, it's in the Bible. And sometimes, man, you don't feel like, sometimes I just be like, oh, this is not a good day. And I'll read the Bible, and it'll say, just because your day isn't good doesn't mean... It's always something.
Right, it's always something that kind of, like, applies to what you...
It applies, man. Even when we read Genesis, right, if y'all don't think it doesn't... Things that don't apply, well, we learned that Cain got angry at Abel and killed him. Anger leads to so many other different emotions.
Yeah.
Right? So, don't... Your emotions, but
no, I know exactly what you're
don't
talking
let
about.
Your emotions guide you. Oh, it says it in Robert Greene says, don't emotions cloud reasoning. I've heard that so many times. And so the Bible says it too, because anger will take over you, and it leads to...
There's a verse that I just did in my memory verse journal. Man, I want to say I'm not going to misquote it, but it basically is saying, like, a sharp tongue leads to more anger, right? Like, a gentle approach and tone, when you're confronted, lead with a gentle tongue, right? Like, speak gently, because if you're going to speak harshly, it's just going to lead to more anger. If somebody comes at you wrong, you know what I'm saying? It's no point in just, like, being rah rah, because that's not going to lead to nothing but more anger. Yeah. But it's like, if you could just take a second and be gentle. So that's goes to your point. So yeah. Like, there's instructions.
So that's what I get out of the Bible, and I don't think I've ever read the Bible and been like, what does... Now, listen, I do read the Bible and say, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Because some words in there are like, what? And it'll be something like a word that we say today, but it's just depicted in a different type of old English.
Yeah, so then that leads me to another question, which is, what are some of the things that sort of like are frustrating about reading the Bible or challenging? Like, you know what I'm saying? And so you kind of just mentioned one, which is the words. So, I definitely struggle with that, especially names and places.
Yeah.
It's like, what? What does this say? So, like, what are some of the challenges you experience, like, by being a Bible reader consistently?
I know you're going to say this, but sometimes I have to read stuff over again because it'll say one thing and I'm like, does it mean that?
Yeah.
And then when you go to Bible study and talk to a pastor, it won't be the exact opposite, but it'll have a more in-depth meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that gets tricky because I said the other day, you can take the Bible for face value, but there is a deeper meaning into every word that is in there. So that sometimes it's like, oh man, did that mean that? And I'll hear from the pastor like, this means this.
Yeah.
Because when you read the Bible, just like you said earlier, right, with the Bible verses, you can read one Bible verse that's popular. I don't know if I have one up there. Okay, that's, I can't see it. But like, Romans 3:23, everybody says that. But there, read Romans 3:25.
Right, yeah.
And some Bible verses will be like, okay, this is it. And he'd be like, let's keep reading.
Right, let me say this. I got to interject there. Because I feel like often misquoted is the eye for an eye verse. Yeah. Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. It's like, well, the Bible says eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, so I can retaliate. And that's not what the verse is saying, right? Like, that's not what the chapter is actually saying, right? You take that one line out of there, and you can use it as almost like a weapon.
Yeah.
But like, if you read what was happening leading up to that, right? I actually just read something too. Man, I wish I would have brought my memory verse book down here, because I just read something about the power of words, right? It was like, I was actually looking for like words of affirmation, like what to speak over myself when I pray.
Yeah.
But I came across a verse that was like, do my words not have power? Like, when I send my words out, they do exactly what I intend for them to do, and they bring back fruit. Right? Just like the snow falls, just like the rain falls. Like, and I took that actually when I searched for it, and I came across that verse, and I mistakenly thought that this was a person speaking. But then when I read the whole verse, it was actually quoting God.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, and we're made in the image of God. So I think there is truth in like speaking life to yourself and speaking and your words having power. Yeah. But in that particular verse, as I was reading it, I was thinking it was one thing and it actually meant another thing.
That's where affirmations come from. Like, okay, here's the verse that everybody talks about, right? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 3:23. Everybody's heard that, right? Listen to Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. So, all have sinned but can be saved by Jesus.
Right.
I have that on my prayer board, because you have to remember that. Everybody has sinned, but everybody can be saved through Jesus, and we have to remember Jesus is grace.
Right, so if I were to just take that first part and be like, everybody sinned, so I'm going to just keep on sinning.
Yeah. Right. So you got to, like, in a totality, right? So that's why, that's another good reason of finding a good church, because a good pastor or Sunday school will be able to start breaking it down, because they just don't read verse, they read chapters and stories.
Yeah, you know? And they actually... Yeah. Talk about the Bible. Yeah. So that's, I'll just
it's
go
good,
into that.
It's a good one, yeah.
So, and shout out to our church, United Baptist Church, Pastor Pope and First Lady Myra. We love y'all.
Yeah.
But I've listened to other churches, right? There's this one particular, I think it's like a broadcast on the radio, where the person who's preaching, and look, she be having a bunch of good stuff to say. Like, she's not, I wouldn't say she's necessarily, like, wrong. She's, I'm thinking she's obviously a pastor. That's what I'm thinking. But, you know, really and truly, I don't know that, right? Like, I gotta see her face. I'm pretty sure she is, because it's a gospel station, and, like, why would they have somebody who's not a pastor preaching? But one of the things that, even though I enjoy her speaking voice and her speaking style, one of the things that always kind of, like, I question is, like, why is she not preaching from a verse? She's always just talking about what's what she thinks is good and how this is bad, and but she never really turn to your Bibles to this chapter, to this, right? She's just verses. Always just like almost like riffing. I'm not saying riffing, because I don't know that lady. Yeah. I don't know what she looks like. But I mean, she and like I said, she be saying some stuff. She be hitting on some stuff, but she's not. So many times I've listened to her, and I only started to realize it after I started to listen to like multiple other pastors, because our pastor always preaches out of the Bible. But and I mean, look, they're ordained, like they know what to, like, I'm thinking that they pray before they go on and they know what to do, whatever. But it just struck me as odd, because even the person who comes on after her preaches from the Bible. So it was like interesting, because it was like, okay, it became like really obvious that she wasn't doing it by way of comparison of the person that came on before her and the person after her and the other people that I listened to. It's like everybody's always like talking from the Bible, and there's always some notes that I need to take, like go back and look up this verse. But whenever I listen to her, it's just like her talking about how things should be.
I got a quick story. All right, so this is when I worked at a restaurant, and one of my coworkers, he was always was quoting the Bible, and he was like, yeah, you want to come to my church? And then my other friend, co-worker, she was like, yeah, because we always would talk about the Bible. Her uncle is he's a pastor in the business, uncle, or her cousin is a pastor, right? So, nice young lady. She was like, yeah, I'll go to your church.
Mm-hmm.
She came back. I was like, so how was it? She was like, yeah, I'm just not used to that style. She was like, the pastor just preached testimonials and not from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? It's because I'm not used to it. I didn't know what it looked like. But then when you told me about that lady, I was like, ah, so that's what it is.
Yeah.
Like, so that's what I kind of got from it. Like, oh, you're just talking about how God helped you through life, which is okay.
Yeah.
But there has to be an example of a Bible verse that you can pull. And then,
yeah.
You know?
I think the term is a Bible-based church, I think. Because there's actually another person who I follow, on YouTube, who goes to church, but she's not a believer, like, in a religion, but she goes to church. She has things and functions to do at the church, but she's not Christian or Catholic or Muslim or Jewish, or obviously, because they would not be going to church, they would be going to like other places. But right, but it's so interesting, because you can actually, I mean, we're all free. You could call anything a church. You know what I'm saying? You can call anything church.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's up to the thinking human being to be able to draw out and say, you know what, this doesn't sit right. Or, you know what I'm saying? My thought is, one of the things we talked about when we were reading Genesis was, because we use these resources that to guide us through, like, what to read on which day, and then they have these prompt questions. And at the end of, like, the whole thing that happened with Adam and Eve when they ate the apple, I won't say apple because it didn't say apple, when they ate the fruit off of the tree, is they asked, like, what do you think Eve could have done better, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And, like, what do you think Eve should have done? And I was thinking to myself, like, well, now, because now I got to really go back and think about that, right? Like, she could have, this was like a lie that was being told. And from my reading of it, right, it just seemed like that was the first lie. The serpent came along and told and said, oh, you can eat that. You know what I'm saying?
Principalities, man. Yeah.
And so she had encountered a lie.
Yes.
Now, we all do this every day, especially if you're on social media.
Yeah.
You're encountering lies every single day. Like, people could just say anything, right? And so you have to decide, like, using your own, not say common sense, but, like, using your own mechanisms, you have to decide how you choose to act based on the information that you're believing. Yeah. You have to kind of choose what to believe, because there's so many things that contradict one another. There's so many things that are not serving the same purpose. So at that point, when the prompt said, what could Eve have done better? So I guess since she had never heard a lie before, she should have asked God in retrospect, right? It's just like, oh, well, that's not what God said.
Yeah.
Let me go back and talk to God and see what he says before I eat anything off this tree, right? That would have been the good thing to do. But, like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I don't always listen to that voice. You know what I'm saying? Like, they be having a little, like, angel on one shoulder, devil on the other shoulder. Yeah. Like, that thing is real. Like, that little devil on the shoulder be working.
Yeah.
He be working. So, we don't always make those right choices. But the thought is that...
I'm going to bring something up. I'm going to talk about it next week.
The thought is that in any decision, I think this is probably what I'm getting out of reading the Bible the most, is, like, it's an ongoing thing. Like, it doesn't stop, right? Like, you always have to seek the word of God, because you're always going to go back to that place where you don't either remember it or it's just not ingrained in you. We retain so much information and still don't implement it. Okay. Right? Like, you could know so many things but still not act on it.
Okay. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Out of this Bible reading, Genesis 1 through 11, name one thing that was impactful to you and why.
Wow. Okay. I have something in mind, but I'm just trying to check it beyond a couple of other things that I've also found interesting. Okay. I think the thing that was most impactful, you said most impactful or just one thing that's impactful?
Most impactful to you.
Okay. Now, this is based on my own interpretation of the word, because that's what another thing I believe is that, like, if you take something a certain way, that might be the way that God meant for you to take it.
Yes.
So, all right.
Yep.
Dang, this is a real truth moment. So, I have touched on this when we talked about it. In the Bible, God created Adam and he told him, you can eat freely except from this tree.
Yeah.
He did that before he created Eve.
Yeah.
So,
you pointed it out.
My assumption is that Adam had to be the one to tell Eve not to eat from the tree.
Yeah.
Because she told the serpent, right? So, like, that part in me wasn't in detail as far as from what I read. So I'm assuming that when God presented Eve to Adam, they were frolicking about and doing whatever they're doing. And at some point, he had mentioned to her, like, oh, by the way, yeah, we don't eat from that tree because God told us not to. So, and later in the Bible, because we went over this in our counseling before we got married, about, like, the obedience, like, a woman is supposed to be, like, obedient to her husband or whatever. And a lot of people always have a problem with that. It's like, that's the real controversial thing. But what's interesting to me is that
they do, don't they? Yeah.
So there was this whole part about Eve where when she was talking to the serpent, he told her this stuff. And she there was a part that described, like, she looked at the fruit and it looked desirable, right? Like, and so it's so funny because I kind of attributed it to, like, oh, man, I'm going to get in trouble for this. He's never going to let this go. I kind of attributed it to, like, some of the times where I have these sort of, like, cunning thoughts. Like, case in point, my spending habits, right? Like, I like to order stuff.
Yes.
And, I mean, like, look, a good majority of the stuff that I order is for us. It's what we need. But I'll tell you that I can cut back. And so my thought was that my thought was that
podcast over, guys.
It occurred to me after reading that okay, I need to check myself because God is speaking through the word and telling me that, like, I should just go ahead and listen to my husband and be obedient to my husband because he may have given him information that he didn't directly give to me, but because he created this order, like, I have to be obedient to him. And, like, it even says that in the Bible that, like, after they ate the fruit and stuff, God kind of cast out some punishment, some consequences. Yeah. And he said, like, in so many words, you like to be ruled by him or whatever, right? Yeah. And so some people could take offense to that and be like, and that's a whole nother subject, that's like, as far as, like, whether you're going to take the word at face value or whether you're going to manipulate it to whatever your comfort level is. Yeah. That's a whole nother conversation. But it occurred to me after reading that in Genesis that I need to do a better job of just listening to you, whether I agree with it or not, because perhaps God may have instructed you to do something, right, to make our lives better or just be obedient to God. And that because I think I know better, I could be messing that up. So that's kind of the best. I mean, that's probably the most impactful thing so far.
Okay.
How about you? I'll turn that right back around on you. What's the most impactful thing you've gotten out of Genesis?
I've said it. And
1 through 11.
I'm going to continue to say it because I think it's something that I need to definitely, like, adjust in my life. Is when Cain killed his brother because he was angry over a piece of fruit. Like,
it all comes back to fruit, guys.
It's crazy, man. Like,
yeah.
Listen, God didn't like what Cain gave him, and he liked what Abel gave him, and Cain got mad and killed his brother. It wasn't that serious. So two things I got out of that.
Yeah, he just straight up killed him.
He just killed him. Like, what is going on?
That remind me of those gangster movies you be watching.
Yeah, I mean, well, here we go.
Okay, good.
I pray, man. That's all. So that reminds me of, it's two lessons in that. Two, let stuff go and do better. Like, he could have just been like, all right, the next time I give God a sacrifice, I can make sure it's more of abundant, or ask him.
Yeah.
Ask him why. He's going to tell you the truth. It's God. He's going to be like, well, maybe I need this, 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 and this.
Right.
You know, I'm God. And sometimes you have to, in life, take accountability. And don't get mad at somebody that had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
And, like, for instance, and I had to check myself today because I got mad at one of the guys talking about NFL black coaches, and he trying to give the other side, but that's just his thoughts. I can't get mad at somebody for just speaking their thoughts and their opinions.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes with sports, it needs to be an even level playing field. Mm-hmm. And then anger comes in even with our relationship. It's gonna be like, well, am I gonna get mad at all the stuff she buys, or am I just gonna say, okay, we could just work it out? I'll mention it, but it's like, what am I get mad at you for if I've already mentioned it?
And you see what's crazy, because is it crazy or is it God? But I gotta say, sometimes in a relationship, it's better to just pray to God to help them to see, right? And it's like between them and God, because perhaps, right, you may have gotten angry about that in the past, and maybe you prayed about it. I don't know if you did or not, but Look how God moved in my life to be like, you know, I should listen to him more. And like, just straight up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So another thing that, okay, so I have to mention this because he just talked about it. And you might not know, but James has a podcast and a YouTube show called Fourth Quarter.
Yeah.
Fourth Quarter Matters. I'll link it below if you're watching the YouTube. Yeah, he also has a podcast called Fourth Quarter. So if you listen to a podcast, if you listen to this podcast, then wherever you found this podcast, you can find his Fourth Quarter podcast. So, you know, he gets really heated about sports because that's his thing. He's very knowledgeable about that kind of thing. And so they were talking about the lack of black coaches, and he was definitely passionate about that. So. All right, so I do want to touch on a couple of other things. This is a start-off conversation.
Yeah.
I really look forward to us kind of delving more into the word. With that said, I wanted to ask you a two-part question.
Okay.
One is, we were both brought up by praying grandmothers, right? Like, on all ends. What was your can you remember, like, either your grandmother or like maybe your aunt or somebody, a favorite verse that they instilled in you, like, don't ever forget that God says this?
A favorite verse?
Yeah, I want to talk about that.
I know your grandmother's one. I think I do.
What is it?
Isaiah 40.
That good Isaiah 41:10. Shout out to grandma. Rest in peace. Shout out to grandma. You left me with that. I literally look at that verse probably once a week or once every couple weeks. Isaiah 41:10, guys. Look that joint up. Shout out to my grandma in heaven.
I don't know what my grandmother in heaven or my aunt Lily. They probably told me so many things.
Yeah. I mean, look, I put you on the spot.
I'm going to tell you this, though. I'm going to tell you what my grandmother did do.
What?
She wasn't with all that. Listen, okay, guys, my grandmother, God rest her soul, I wish faithful to matter. She would have loved you too. But she passed away in 2010, right? And I used to spend summers down with my grandmother. She was from, on my dad's side, she's from Florida. Fort Lauderdale, yes. They built it up, but, you know, I still got family down there. I can't wait to a family reunion.
Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale, right? In the hood, loved it. Spent summers down there. And she was heavily involved in the church, a praying woman. But I would always remember that she wasn't with the foolishness, right? Because I'm going to tell you something about a down south church, right? We get ready, we go at 7, we not coming home till 12. We get there around 7:30 in the morning, you're not coming. That's just the first session. It's not, you know, it's just, you're in there for hours.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not like, you know, our church is 1 hour, which is cool. Maybe 1:15. I love it. Right? Not to say it's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But down south, they just do a little different. And sometimes they're a little bit more boisterous down there. Right? So they praise a little bit harder than we do up here. Right? And they were jumping around and... just listening to my grandmother, Harris, so she'd be like, listen, I love Jesus and all, but they know they're not supposed to be just doing this. I'm trying to hear the pastor. And it would just be so funny, man.
Oh, gosh.
It would be so funny.
You know what that reminds me of.
Because it's a real thing. Like, it, you know, people in the church know who's... Listen, if it's people... in, like, we all know this. People in the church know. Like, come on, man. You're doing this again, right? And it's okay, but it's like people are trying to get to God's word.
Look, okay, so now I have to tell the story. You did this.
It was hilarious,
man. So yeah, let's just talk about that. I know we were supposed to be like, you know, wrapping up, but we're here now. Yeah. There is a different way that people praise. I mean, yeah, unless you have something else you want to know. There is a different way that people praise, and I have been... I've seen some things that I didn't necessarily feel, you know, compelled to do, but I wouldn't think that people are just out here trying to get attention. I'm not going to assume that.
I'm not going to assume
that. Right? I would think, I have seen, and I have felt for myself, like sort of the spirit overcome me. I wasn't like necessarily like dancing in the aisles or whatever, but sometimes that's how people praise. Like, I think there's this thing that, and some people know what I'm talking about. It's like a footwork dance where you kind of like jump up on one foot and jump on the other foot and then do it real fast. And it's like it's called a praise dance. Mm. Right. But it's not necessarily that people are overcome with the spirit and then they do the praise dance. I think that some people start doing the footwork in order to kind of encounter the Holy Spirit. Like, it's like, you know, you're going to put your workout clothes on before you start getting into your workout. Like, you're going to do a warm up or whatever. So I kind of look at it like that. But I do also understand the other spectrum of it from those who might not be familiar with that kind of thing, and it could be uncomfortable for them if they don't understand it. But there was this one time, and it was more than one time, but there was this one time in particular when we were going to another church. Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm talking about. And there was this guy. We used to go to this church. This used to be my church before I met with James. I'm not going to say the name of the church.
Yeah.
Before I started going to church with James, we used to go back and forth, like, one week at my church, next Sunday at his church, next Sunday at my church, next Sunday at his church. So we used to do that until we got married and we decided, like, okay, no, this is our church, right? Yeah. Like, these are our people, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's the church that we attend now. But the other church that we were going to, that I was going to for years before that, and nobody's ever going to know who this person is. I mean, like, come on, let's just relax. Because it could be a lot of people, actually. But there was this one time we were in there, and the pastor was preaching, and he was really good. He was into it.
Yeah.
And there was this man who kept yelling, "Preach, preacher! Preach, preacher!" Like, he said it, like, I might be exaggerating, 50 times. Like, at least 20 times. Mm-hmm. To the point where I couldn't even, like, I was really trying my best to, like, focus on what the pastor was saying, but this guy was just talking so loudly, and his voice was loud, and he was like, I didn't know, he must have been close to us, but, like, literally, the whole church was quiet, trying to, like, decipher the words of the pastor between this guy just outbursting, and listen, he could have been encountering the Holy Spirit, I am not for certain, but I just know that I was a lot distracted and a little irritated, because I just felt like you're, you know, interrupting my experience. It's one thing if you're, you know, if you have to say amen, or if you even have to get up and dance and scream, like, do what you have to do. But, like, he was so consistent with his words that he was almost like out talking the pastor. Like, I'm trying to listen to the words of the pastor saying, and he was hitting on some good points. And this guy was just so loud. So, I don't know. I think at some point it can become distracting if everybody's not doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, look, this is just a conversation. We're not trying to step on nobody's toes. We're not trying to say, change your ways or anything like that. But maybe this is the only time that someone will feel comfortable saying something like that. And maybe you can identify with it, or maybe you are the person who kind of can have some behavior that could be considered disruptive. And so, you know, that's what we talk about here on Is It Crazy as a God? In addition to, most importantly, talking about the Word of God. Yeah. And so with that said, I wanted to ask you, what was your favorite verse, that you kind of live by? I know you got a whole prayer board.
One that I live by?
I mean, it can't just be one. I know that I put you on the spot because I didn't tell you that I was going to ask you that. But I did want to know. But also, like, there's not just one, and I get that. But, like, is there one in particular that, like, recently has been your...
Yeah, 41 is good. I got some really good ones up there. That Ephesians one's good. That one is good, too. I go by that one. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding.
Yeah.
One of our pastors, Sharif, was just preaching about that. That has so many meanings.
It does.
It's like, we just were listening to Face Over Matter talking about obedience. That's obedience, right? Yeah. Because it's like you have to trust the Lord to lead you, and you can't lean on your own understanding. Because, listen, this is just my interpretation, but when it says not lean on your own understanding, that means sometimes that we're detrimental to our own choices and actions that we take. And yeah. I think sometimes we have to trust in the Lord because he's going to lead us into the right direction.
Right.
That and verse is a good one.
That's great. I'll piggyback on that because...
Shout out to Sharif. I think Sharif just said that.
Shout out to Sharif. I'm getting ready to shout out somebody else. First of all, you mentioned Face Over Matter. Love that girl. She's on YouTube, Face Over Matter. Also, she's on Instagram. I don't know where else she is, but I'll link it down below because she has some really good content. I mean, it's a lot of like beauty stuff, but she talks about God and I think, and I like that. But so I wanted to say on the lean out on your own understanding thing, it's like you don't know. It's so much that we don't know. I think we can agree to that, yeah. Right? Whether you believe in the Bible or you don't, whether you, and we encourage everybody, even if you don't believe in the Bible, to come and read it with us.
Yeah.
But, I mean, because you might as well just know what's in there, right? Like, that's my thing. Like, you can't tell me that it's not true if you haven't read it, right? Like, you just can't, you don't even know what's in there. Yep. It's just like, that doesn't make any sense. And you definitely can't say you don't agree with it if you haven't read it. So, if you're one of the people who doesn't agree with the Bible and you haven't read it, then maybe you should read with us.
Yeah.
And then, you know, back up your statements that you don't believe in it. That's fine, whatever. My goal is just to read you, just to bring you to the Word. And, you know, whatever happens after that is out of my hands. But I think what's interesting is that so many times, and I see this in my life, so much has been proven to me. Like, I come into a situation with the understanding that I have, and then it turns out later on that more information is revealed to me, and I didn't know it. So if I was trusting my understanding, you know what I'm saying? I was likely wrong.
Yeah.
So I think that is a very good one that has such a deeper meaning. Also, I feel like the truth is universal, and whether you are a believer or not, like the truth can resonate with you because of your own experience, because it's just the truth. Like, if you believe, it does baffle me sometimes that, like, we believe all these other sources of information, but then we don't believe the Bible, or we don't, you know what I'm saying? Like I'll look up a word in the dictionary. Like, who wrote the dictionary? You know what I'm saying? Like, I believe them, or I'll Google something and Britannica or whatever, right? Like, I'll Google something or Wikipedia and be like, oh, this is the truth. But then you won't do that with the Bible? That's like crazy. Like, these are people who wrote this. And like, so anyway, that's a whole nother story. But what I realized is that, I forgot who said this as a quote, the truth is more important than the facts. Now that is a perfect statement to go along with that quote or with that Bible verse, because at first, like, hearing it, the truth is more important than the facts. What do you mean? The truth is the facts. Not necessarily. You have to believe. The belief in truth will get you, like, through the facts. And I'll tell you this, because Pastor Furtick just mentioned it in something I was watching. He was talking about David and Goliath, right? I think he was talking about David and Goliath. It's like, there's this giant, and we can't beat him. Like, he's this much bigger than us.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
But the truth is,
you could win.
Victory. God's going to give you the victory. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, so the truth is more important than the facts. If God told you something, then whatever it is that's factual, like, you know, like Noah, right? Like, I could take it there. So, like, I'm sure everybody around him was like, it's not even raining. Why are you building an ark, right? And it's which, like, well, the fact. Truth is, which is a fact, it's not raining.
It's not
why
raining
are you
right
building
now?
Why an ark? It's not raining right
the
now.
Ark is
you know what I'm saying? That's a fact.
Yeah.
But he got an instruction from God.
Yeah.
And so he went with that because that was the truth.
Yeah.
So, like, the truth is more important than the facts because now that when it started raining, he was on his ark.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that's really something that resonates with that verse. If I had to pick a verse, I don't know.
I was trying to look it up. You said Isaiah 40.
Which one? Isaiah 41:10.
What verse would you pick?
I would probably pick.
Let's read it.
Man.
I know which one you would probably pick.
I have so many on my prayer board. And I'm not even going to remember the actual verse that this is, but it's a verse that says, God will give you desires of your heart. Right? Yeah. It's, how does it go? It's like,
it might be up there.
Delight in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Yeah. That's another one with multiple meanings, because on first in encountering that statement, desire, you know, delight in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. On first hearing it, I thought that, oh, if you take delight in serving God, then he'll give you everything you want. Right. And that's what I thought.
Yeah.
But then as I read further and kind of got more, you know, familiar with the word, it started to mean something else to me, which is if you connect with God on an ongoing basis and let him guide you, he's going to put his will in the center of your desires. So like he's going to change what you want from sin into what he wants for you. So he'll give you the desires of your heart, yeah. right? So like if you delight in him and you, you know, engage with him on a regular basis, he's going to fill you with desire
yeah.
to do what he has for you to do. So like that's how I understand it now. But then someone else might have a separate meaning of that. Yeah. And that's right probably for them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's the one. And I don't know what verse that is.
Yeah.
Again, not perfect, not claiming to be no pastor or expert in this. We're just regular people reading the Bible. And my favorite thing to say is don't take my word for it. Go to the source, meaning you pick up your Bible, you do your research and, you know, come and join us in the conversation.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you have something that
I
you wanted to add?
Yeah,
go ahead.
I'm just going to read the verse.
Absolutely.
And then we're going to end on
loving it.
Habakkuk. Listen,
guys. I've heard it pronounced Habakkuk.
I've heard it pronounced Habakkuk.
Which that's what it looks like to me, but I don't know
like
how
Habakkuk.
To pronounce it.
Listen, guys, I'm working on it. Okay, all right. It's chapter 2.
Oh, this is a good one. Is it 2:2 or 2:3?
It's 2:2 through 3.
2:2 through 2:3.
It says, and the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time, it hastens to the end, and it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come, it will not delay. I'm gonna end on that, man. So
on that note, yeah, that's a great one. Write the vision, make it plain.
Yep.
So thank you for tuning in to watch / listen / engage with us.
Yeah.
We hope that you like and subscribe if you're on YouTube.
Yep.
If you are listening to this on the podcast, we hope that you follow us there. We hope that you come and follow us on Instagram. Is it crazy or is it God? And just find us everywhere, man. Like you could, we'll leave some links in the descriptions on how you can find us on different platforms, but we appreciate you joining us. And we hope that you, not only come back and listen, but we hope that you read along with us.
Yep.
So if you follow us on Twitter, you'll be able to see what we're reading for the next week and what we'll be recording about that following week. So thanks again for your support.
Yes.
And please just be blessed and take care of each other.
All right.
All right. Peace.